All right, our memory scripture for the summer is Matthew 5, verses 3 to 10. Here we go. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5, 3 to 10. The essence of this message is this, if you want to write it down. We are to add value everywhere we are. We are called by Christ to add value everywhere we are. We are given the responsibility by God to add value everywhere we are, with every person we meet, in every situation we face. We are called to add value. And the Beatitudes, becoming the Beatitudes, is the way we get there, is the way we become that kind of person. Every place you go, every person you meet, our responsibility is to add value. Especially when our grandson Brody was young, every once in a while I'd get a text from Carissa after he'd been over to our house, and it would say this: Brody smells like you. Now you can take that in a variety of ways, but here's what she meant. Ever since we've been married, I wear a particular aftershave, cologne. It's called Musk by Jovan. Jovan, I think, is the way you pronounce it. And the reason I wear that is because Sheila likes it. And so my kids have grown up their whole life with that is the aroma, which is much better than some kinds of smells that they could remember me by. And so when she sends me this text, Brody smells like you, that's what she's talking about. That he has the cologne because I've held him. And so I said, oh, I'm sorry. And she texts back. And she says, no. I'm glad for that. Because that means that I've held him close. That means that I've shown him how much I love him and how much I value him. Because he doesn't get that cologne on him except that he's touching my face. And it could be hours later. But when she picks him up and holds him close, the aroma is still there. The fragrance is still there. Now understand, it's not really me, is it? It's the cologne. It's something external that that I put on. We are told to add value every place we go. But it's not us, it's the aroma of Christ. You see, when Christ is living in us and flowing through us, every person we meet, every place that we go, every situation that we enter, we will bring the aroma of Christ. The scripture that immediately follows the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 is Jesus giving us two pictures. I put the phrases in your outline if you want to look there. He says, you are the salt of the earth. What he says there, we're supposed to bring flavor. Everywhere we go, everyone we meet, every situation we enter, we're supposed to bring the flavor of Christ. You are the light of the world. Everywhere we go, we're supposed to turn it from darkness to light, bringing an understanding of God and who he is and separating the darkness from the light, bringing Jesus. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, there's a different picture. It says, you are the aroma of Christ, the fragrance of the knowledge of him. The aroma of Christ, the fragrance of the knowledge of him. So every place we go, every person we meet, every situation we enter into, we're supposed to bring the fragrance of Christ. We are the fragrance because just like with the aftershave, it's not us. It's something that has been put in us. It's Christ. It's not us, but it's something that has been put in us. And so I wanted to pause in our study of the Beatitudes. We've looked at the first seven, which are the first four are really about becoming who Christ wants us to be. And then the last three are about acting in the way that he wants us to act. And then next week, we'll pick up number eight. The final one is about persecution, that is responding to actions that happen to us. But I wanted to pause here because I want us to understand that Jesus' teaching was never an intellectual exercise. Jesus' purpose in telling us anything, teaching us, was always action. It was always to put it into place. It was always to apply it in our lives. Jesus was never interested in people just coming to understand something. He was interested in them being transformed and living it out. And so that's the point of the Beatitudes. That's the point of his whole ministry. And so I want to pause here and in the context of these seven, take a look at what that means in putting them into practice. When I was growing up, I would walk. My parents owned 6 acres, and sometimes I'd walk around the property. And every once in a while, I'd get a whiff of something that was a wonderful smell. And I didn't know what it was. I still can't identify it. But my mom said it was honeysuckle. You ever smelled honeysuckle? It's one of the most wonderful flowers. And if we walk around our neighborhood, there are a couple of places where I'll be walking, and all of a sudden I get a whiff, just a whiff. And I look around, and I'm trying to find it. I can't, of course, I don't know what honeysuckle looks like. I can't identify flowers in the least, but I identify the smell. So I just look for blossoms somewhere. But the fragrance is there. It is there and it lingers. If I could ever recognize it and I cut it and bring it into the house, all the way back to the house, I would be smelling it. And if I brought it into the house, suddenly that aroma, that fragrance would permeate the whole house. And it would linger there. And then even after they died, for a little while, that aroma would still be there. It is a pleasant aroma. It brings a smile to my face, partly because of the memories, but partly because of the beauty of the fragrance. So my question is, are you being honeysuckle with everyone you meet, every situation that you face, every place that you go? Because if you are, that means you are bringing a pleasantness to those places that not only comes with you, but lingers. Just like my aftershave on Brody, it lingers because when Christ comes someplace, it lasts a little bit. On the flip side of that, there have been times when I've been sitting around the house and everybody starts to check the bottom of their shoes. I don't know how your nose works, but I think close to the worst smell in the world is dog poop. Anybody want to say amen? Amen. I hate that smell, and I especially hate it because it's like an undercover spy that attaches to the sole of your foot before you know it, and then you've tracked it inside, and not only is it on your shoe now, but it's where you've walked. It's pungent, isn't it? And it's interesting because people start blaming one another. It's not my shoe. Where did you walk? What is wrong with you? Dog poop brings this awful smell, this awful fragrance, this awfulness, and it lingers. With our sinful human nature living in an upside-down world, our default aroma is dog poop. And you know, think of the people in your life. And there are people who immediately, you know, they have the fragrance of dog poop. When they come into the room, everybody goes, ugh, checks their shoes. There are other people in your life, when they come into the room, it brings a smile to your face. They smell like honeysuckle. Now, the challenge of this message is we are to be people who bring the fragrance of Christ. We are to be people who add value everywhere we go, every place, every situation we face, with every person we meet. Like the fragrance of Christ, like the fragrance of honeysuckle. So my challenge to you is when you enter a room, do you most often bring honeysuckle or dog poop? I'm sure that's a theological term somewhere. Dung. Honeysuckle? Yeah, dung. Yeah, honeysuckle or dog poop. You see, when you walked into the room today, you brought an aroma with you. So for some of you, it's a very strong aroma, and people got smiles on their faces. But you have brought either a pleasant aroma or a bad odor. You have brought the fragrance of Christ, or you have not. You have added value, or you've taken value away. Every place we go, every person we meet, every situation we face, that's what we do. And my challenge to us today is to be deliberate, intentional, focused on letting the fragrance of Christ flow out of us. So, are you honeysuckle or dog poop? Do you add value or take value away? So right up front, I want you to evaluate yourself. There's a continuum there. On one side, it says value giver, or I probably should have been adder, those who add value versus those who take value, those who add the fragrance of Christ or those who subtract from the value of the room. So just in your mind, where would you be on that continuum? Would you be completely value-adding or completely value-taking? When Christ tells us to be the people of God, he doesn't give us the option ever of being dog poop. And yet there are Christians, people who claim the name of Christ, who walk into a room and take value away. Is it any wonder people aren't flocking to Christ? I mean, when Jesus was on this earth, he was so attractive. I mean, sure, he fed thousands, and that was part of it, the work, is adding value. But he did a lot of things that we can do, too, because his presence is within us. So let's talk about it. That Christ followers can add value if we build these habits or build these actions into our lives. They're a lifestyle. Number one, remind yourself that you live in an upside-down world. Remind yourself that you live in an upside-down world constantly, constantly, constantly. So I want to go back to the very beginning of our series of messages and just give you some reminders of this upside-down the world that we live in. Luke chapter 16, verse 15. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So at the very beginning, we said we live in an upside-down world. Those things that are of great value in this world are an abomination. They are awful. They're horrible. They're something that God would want destroyed. He said it's upside down. We live in an upside-down world. And then that full verse is the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all these things that Jesus was saying, and they ridiculed him. They attacked him. They criticized him. They made fun of him. And he said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts." They were religious people who believed that they were doing the right thing, who believed that they were bringing the fragrance of honeysuckle into the room when actually they were bringing dog poop. You are the ones who who value those things, and you justify yourself, but God knows your hearts, for what is highly exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. We live in an upside-down world. So here are the bullet points that we've talked about, just as a reminder. We live in an upside-down, and we are mostly unaware. That's why I keep coming back to this, trying to give you examples of it, because we live in a culture that has been turned upside-down by sin. And we are so immersed in it that we often don't recognize that it's upside down, and so that we buy into the things of this world. We buy into the values of the culture. Jesus alone offers the right side up life. You can't get it any other way. He is the source of turning life right side up, because sin is the source of turning it upside down. He came to forgive sin, restore, not just to forgive our sin, but to restore us to the image of Christ. That's why he can say, you're the salt, you're the light, you're the fragrance. And in that context, we talked about the storm-proof life. Remember several months ago, we looked at Jesus' parable about the wise builder and the foolish builder. And he says, that's the only way, by taking Jesus' words and applying them to our lives, that we become who he wants us to be. We also saw that true satisfaction is only in that right side up life with Christ. It's true satisfaction. You could experience moments of pleasure and fun and things that please the human side of us. You can experience those for moments, but they don't satisfy. They don't last. They don't bring contentment. And so true satisfaction is only by living these Beatitudes, by putting them into practice, and thus becoming the salt, the light, and the fragrance of Christ. We saw that beatitude means supreme blessedness. And when Jesus used that word blessed, he was talking about a oneness with God that brings the deep inner state of well-being that does not depend on outward circumstances. He's talking about a contentment, sufficiency, satisfaction. And it only comes as we live this right side of life. And so the measure of living right side up is the measure of satisfaction you will have. You know why some Christians are just grumpy? Because they may have accepted Christ, they may have gotten forgiven, but their lives have not been transformed. And until you're living in alignment with Christ, these Beatitudes, you're not going to be satisfied. Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount are the essence of right side up living. And so that's why we've taken so much time with the Beatitudes. I was thinking this morning when I first started this, I was thinking one sermon would be an introduction to the Beatitudes, and then we would talk about all eight of the Beatitudes in the next sermon, and then we would move to the Sermon on the Mount. What an idiot. Man, the more I study these things, it's like I could do 6 weeks on peacemakers. Because there's so much depth there, because it's the essence, at the core, these verses 3 to 10, and 10's got a commentary in 11 and 12, those 10 or 11 verses is the essence of what it means to be following Christ. And then he expands it in the Sermon on the Mount, and then he expands it in his 3-year ministry. But this is the essence. So we have to be living these if we want satisfaction, because they are the essence. Repenting is the right side up lifestyle. Repenting is, I'm walking this way away from Christ. I'm following sin. I'm following what I want to do. Repenting is doing that 180 degree turn, and now I'm following Christ. It's turning my back. It's not confession. It's not forgiveness. It's turning around, 180 degree turn. And so it becomes this lifestyle where every time I am, God convicts me and shows me, you know, in this area of your life, you're really not following me. Repenting says, okay, then I will turn my back on that and I will turn to you. It becomes a lifestyle that lasts all of our lives. That's the way we experience it. And then finally, right side up living is hard. It's just hard. Look at me. It is the hardest thing you will ever do. Because you're going against your nature that has been corrupted by sin. You're going against your culture that you live in that's upside down. And you've got an enemy, Satan and all the forces of evil, who are trying to get you to stop following Christ and do the exact opposite. And it's hard work. Just look at the life of Jesus, how hard it was. And yet, it was full of satisfaction and joy. So it's right side of living, the Beatitude. Living the Beatitude is the only way to satisfaction, but it will take everything you've got to do it. It's hard. So having said that, let me remind you of our question. Are you honeysuckle or are you dog poop? In the situations that you have faced in this last week, in the people that you've met, in the circumstances that you lived in, how much did you bring the fragrance that is pleasing and lingers? How much did you bring the fragrance that is awful and lingers? Number two, we need to surrender and work hard to be the Beatitudes. Because it is so hard, and because it requires all the power of Christ and his presence within us, we have to constantly surrender and work hard every time we come to any decision, any place, any person, any situation. It requires us to surrender to Christ and work hard. Give ourselves to him and then do everything we can. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. That is, say no to himself and surrender to Christ. Surrender to him. Take up his cross, his responsibility, and follow me. Work hard at following me. If you think about the cross for a moment, as Jesus is carrying the cross beam to that cross to die, was it hard? It was the hardest thing he ever did. He says you have to work hard. Surrender, deny yourself, and surrender. I can't do this, God. I need you to do it. I'm not going to go my own way. I'm going to go your way. And the presence of Christ, the power of Christ within us, and then we set our sights on doing what he wants us to do. Surrender and work hard to be. So it's each one of the Beatitudes. So we need to surrender and work hard to be poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means that we empty ourselves. We recognize that we're empty of anything good. We cannot please God. We cannot do anything good. And we are completely dependent on Christ. And so I surrender my own self-sufficiency, and I work hard to completely depend on God. Surrender and work hard to mourn. That is to see my sin as the awful thing that it is. Not to be flippant, not to laugh at sin, not to laugh at those jokes that are not pleasing to Christ, not to follow the fashions, not to watch the shows, but rather to see sin as its sinfulness, that it crucified Christ and it caused all his pain, and to be broken by that. And then repent. It means to surrender and work hard to be meek. Power under control. Remember, that was the definition of meekness. Power under control. The power of Christ, but it's submitted to Christ so that wherever he goes, I go. And we had the picture of the two oxen. And wherever he goes, I go. When he stops, I stop. When he goes, I go. I follow him. I surrender to his control and his direction. And I work hard at following. It means to surrender and work hard to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That the purpose of my life, the focus of what I want to be, is doing what is right. I repent of the substitutes that so oftentimes I follow, and I passionately pursue the things that are right, and especially in right relationships, loving God, loving people. That's what I desire. And so if I have opportunities to follow my own desires, whether it's my career or finances or possessions or those kinds of things, I say no to that and I pursue Christ. I say, is that appealing? This is not a rhetorical question. I'm asking. Is it hard to say no to that stuff? Yes, it is. It absolutely is. And the longer you're Christian, the more subtle Satan becomes. And suddenly you're faced with something that, what in the world was that? God reveals it, you turn away, you repent and follow him. So those are kind of the developing His character and his presence within us. And then as a result of that, we act this way. We surrender and work hard to be merciful. So in relationships with other people, and especially the people who don't deserve it, I do what is best for them. And then I surrender and work hard to be pure in heart, having the God's motives, following Jesus Christ exclusively as Lord with the right motives, the right values, pure in heart, doing it for the right reason. And in the last couple of weeks, we looked at peacemakers. I surrender and work hard to become a peacemaker, bringing peace, making peace everywhere I go, and letting it, the presence of Christ linger. So I have to surrender and work hard to be the Beatitudes. I remind myself that I live in an upside-down world. I surrender and work hard to be each one of these. Now I want you to take a moment and look over that list of seven. I want you to put a star by the one that you're doing best in. And then I want you to put a cross by the one you may be struggling most with. Start by the one that you're doing best in, a cross by the one that you are struggling most with. And don't go all spiritual on me and say, you know, I got them all pretty much under control. And don't go all arrogant pride and say, you know, I'm not good at any of them. Unless you aren't, and then we'll come to me later, we'll pray for you. Okay? It's not about intellectual understanding, it's about application. So the ones that you are doing well in, that you're growing in, that you need to feel the pleasure of God, because he's so excited, he's so happy for you because you're surrendering and allow him to work through you and you're working hard at it. And then the ones that you're struggling with, God wants to help you. He wants to deal with whatever struggle you are. And when I talk about surrendering and working hard, that means getting the help that you need. If you've been struggling with something for a long time, you need something else. Because if you keep doing what you're doing, you'll never change. So get help. Ask somebody to pray for you. Get counseling. Whatever it takes. So, are you honeysuckle? Or are you dog poop? What is the fragrance that you bring? Finally, number three, be a value adder everywhere you are. Be a value adder. I don't know if that's proper English, and I don't care, because it communicates what I'm talking about. Everywhere you go, are you adding value? Everywhere you go, every person you meet, every situation you enter into, every conflict that you have, every decision that you make, every issue, every struggle, everything, are you adding value? It only happens when we see our lives as having that purpose. Because if we just kind of adrift, we will add value sometimes, we will take value other times. Think of the people that you've been around who have added value. Get some people in your mind. People who, when they walk in the room, you smile. When you come in contact with them, you just know that your life's going to be better. You might be uplifted. You might be encouraged. You might just feel connected. But you know that when you walk away, it's going to be good. You got those? Got somebody in mind? What are the characteristics? Audience participation time. What is it that they do? Or what is it that they are that causes them to add value to your life? They accept you, absolutely. They care. And they show that they care, right? What are the ways that they show that they care? Anybody? They listen. That's a big one. Just listen. You know how few people there are in this world who actually listen to other people? I go to a lot of different places. Everybody wants to talk. And nobody hardly ever wants to really listen. But listening is such an encouragement. What else? They're joyful. They just have enough spirit. Yeah, does that mean their lives are perfect? No, they still have the difficulties, the problems, the struggles, but they have this power of Christ that's in it. They know that God's in control. What else? Humble. Yeah, no pride. Just recognize they're not any better than anybody else, and that results in accepting and caring. What else? Loving. It can be as simple as a smile. You know, there's some people who just when they see you, they smile. And what does that do? It doesn't solve your problems, right? Doesn't change your circumstances, but it just lifts your spirit a little bit. Smile doesn't cost anything, but you have to be aware. It can be a word of encouragement. If you go into a situation thinking and planning and preparing, okay, what can I say to each one of these people that will uplift them, that will encourage them? Sometimes it's just this teasing or joking around or making somebody laugh. You know, that in and of itself is adding value because people enjoy having their spirit lifted. It could be hands-on help. There might be somebody struggling. And you come alongside them and you help them through that struggle or answer a question. Sometimes it's recommending something that will meet their need. Sometimes it's putting your arm around them. Sometimes it's giving somebody a ride or helping them move. Sometimes it's pausing and saying, "Can I pray for you?" You know, there hardly is ever a time when somebody says to me, "No, I don't want you to pray for me." There have been a few times. But it could be in Panera. It could be in a restaurant. It could be in the strangest place. And I'm talking to somebody. "Can I just pray for you right now?" Now, I don't get down on my knees in the middle of a train station. You know, you get run over. It's just pause. "Can I pray for you?" Put your hand on them. Ask God to work in their lives. And I tell you, oftentimes the hardest people will get a tear in their eye. Because they've been touched. Because there's a big world out there that's bringing dog poop into their lives. And God needs us as his followers, his people, his body, his hands and his feet to bring honeysuckle with the fragrance of Christ. Now, understand, you might want to write this down. Your default is dog poop. Your default is to bring the aroma of sin and selfishness, unless we deliberately surrender to Christ and work hard. And we can come up with all kinds of excuses to do it. Most of you know that 7 years ago, my nephew was killed in the Aurora shooting in Aurora, Colorado, the movie theater shooting, 7 years ago. My sister, who lives in Springfield, Ohio, her oldest son was killed, threw himself on his girlfriend, fiance, saved her life. This past week, there was a shooting in Dayton, Ohio, which is about 20, 25 miles from our hometown, Springfield, Ohio, where my sister lives. When there's a mass shooting, my sister will stay away from social media. She won't watch things because it triggers so much in her. And I understand that. So she kind of tries to pull away from that. But when it happened in Springfield, Ohio, she discovered, so I think it happened on Saturday, and they had a prayer vigil Sunday evening. And my sister immediately called her younger son, who lives in Cincinnati, and he came up, and they made a beeline for the prayer vigil with this thought in mind. There are people there who need a hug, who need a listening ear, who need the comfort of Christ. And they just went there at high cost. Understand, at high cost to my sister. Because afterwards, I know, she struggled with it because that triggers her. But her commitment was to be the fragrance of Christ. And so they got there and they did. They just hugged people. They cared about people. And she looks over at one point, my nephew, who's about 31 years old, whose older brother was killed, is got this young fellow draped around him, sobbing. He didn't offer any kind of words of wisdom. He just let him cry. I'm so proud of my sister, because sometimes being the fragrance of Christ is just hard. Now, to be dog poop, there are a lot of people who are dog poop in those situations. They whine, complain, criticize, rant, rave, and don't do anything. And they bring the horrible fragrance of this world. So every situation, every person we meet, every circumstance, everywhere we go, we're to bring the fragrance of Christ, that honeysuckle fragrance that lingers. Now, do you suppose the people that my sister was around hugging, caring, that young man that draped himself over my other nephew, do you think that lingered in their lives? Absolutely. They'll never see each other again. They didn't exchange names or anything. They just were the fragrance of Christ. We have to commit ourselves to be the fragrance of Christ. And what does that look like? It means to be an imperfect container. An imperfect container. As cracked pots. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Jars of clay in that culture was the most common, ordinary clay, made out of clay, the common clay. And they oftentimes would get nicked and cracked and scarred. And they wouldn't be put in the china cabinet. They would just be used for regular vessels. And so the Holy Spirit speaking through the Apostle Paul says, that's what we are. We have this treasure in jars of clay, not expensive vases, but cracked pots. You are a cracked pot. You're not perfect. You, except for Gary shows up on the day I'm talking about perfection. And he's been claiming for 25 years he's perfect. And we all know that he's a cracked pot. Now understand, cracked pots leak whatever is in them. When you pick up a cracked pot, and if it's got a fragrance in it, some kind of fragrant water, honeysuckle fragrance, wherever it's taken, it just automatically leaks whatever's in it. Right? You don't have to. It just automatically does it. Because we're supposed to just ooze whatever we are. That's why it's so important that we go back to the Beatitudes and become the Beatitudes, because whatever is in you is leaking out. Wherever you go, whoever you see, whatever situation you enter into, whoever you are, whatever's on the inside of you is leaking out. It's oozing out in those circumstances. You can't be filled with dog poop and leak honeysuckle. No matter how much you try on the outside to be something different, whatever is in you will leak out. That's why he says we have this treasure in jars of clay. Salt doesn't have to try to flavor. It's just who it is, right? Light doesn't have to try to bring illumination. It's just what it is. And the people of God, when they're filled with Christ, will leak what they are. But there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians that are leaking dog poop because that's what they are. And so as you think about your last week, whatever you are is what you leaked. And if you left a bad aroma, it's because there's something in you that's leaking out that's not of Christ. Imperfect container as a bringer of Christ's presence. As a bringer of Christ's presence. I'm just killing the English language today. Go back to that 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. So we're crackpots. But it doesn't matter, because what we're supposed to be leaking is Christ's presence. Christ's presence. This treasure is the surpassing power of God. So as we surrender and as we work hard to be the Beatitudes, then the presence of Christ becomes more and more powerful and more fragrant and more pleasing and more blessing and more value-adding every place that we go. Do you ever get irritated? Is there situations, people that irritate you? That's not an excuse to be dog poop. But if something is irritating you, it's most likely because God wants you to bring the fragrance of Christ there. The things that irritate us the most are usually allowed by Christ because he needs us to be there. Because the things that are pleasing, the things that are easy, that doesn't take anything. But the surpassing power of Christ is absolutely essential when you have somebody in your life or some situation in your life or some circumstance, something that you're facing that is irritating the life out of you. We're to be the fragrance of Christ. So think about this past couple of weeks. What's irritated you? Okay. Transform it. What would you do different to bring the presence of Christ instead of be irritating? Because when we face irritating things, it usually makes us irritable. And then we just add to the situation. You don't have that option. And here's another thing. We need to hold one another accountable for this. If we start hearing somebody crying or whining or fussing or criticizing or being dog poop, we need to call them on it. Go clean your shoes. Pick some honeysuckle while you're out there and bring it back. I'm serious. Because we give people a pass too often when they're not acting like Christ. And they're representing Christ in a horrible way. And they're representing us in the process. That's free. That wasn't even in my notes. Everybody carries around pain. We're supposed to bring the presence of Christ into that pain as an opportunity to help other people. Next bullet point, value-adding character. Here's some practical things that it looks like. Value-adding character. This is what happens when you work hard, surrender and work hard to be the Beatitudes. All of those Beatitudes. This is what happens. This is what you become. You have this value-adding character. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24, here's what the Holy Spirit is. When we surrender and work hard, and he fills us, and he changes us, and he transforms us, and he causes us to be the aroma of Christ, the salt, the light, the honeysuckle. He says, here's what we become. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We become people of love. Not people who do love, but people who are. Joy. We have peace. We have patience. Everybody say that one with me. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. And self-control. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. They have surrendered to Christ, and they're working hard at being the Beatitudes, saying no to the flesh and yes to Christ. And as a result, they have that character. When we have these character qualities, we will ooze and leak the presence of Christ wherever we go. And then value-adding conduct. So throughout the series of messages, we said it's about having the character of Christ and the conduct of Christ. By surrendering and working hard, we develop the character. That's who we are. And the conduct, that's what we do. And I read this last week, but this captures what it looks like, smells like to be the presence of Christ in action. Love is patient. There's that word again. Patient and kind. Love does, notice this is action now. The other was character. This is action. Love does not envy or boast. And people who bring dog poop do that a lot, don't they? They're envious, they're boastful, they're prideful. It's not arrogant, and it's not rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. There's that word again. Or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing. You know, see, there's this temptation when somebody that has hurt us, somebody that we don't like, somebody that we have difficulty with, and something bad happens, to say, yes, they deserve that. That's not love. That's not what Christ does. But it rejoices with the truth. When truth comes to bear, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. When we live these actions, we bring value. We are the honeysuckle into every situation. It's constant. I can't drive this home enough. It's constantly paying attention every moment of our lives when we're walking into a place saying, okay, I got to remember. I live in an upside down world, so stuff's going to happen. But I'm going to work hard. I'm going to surrender to Christ. How can I bring value? How can I add value? How can I be honeysuckle so that after I'm here, there will be a lingering fragrance of Christ? So, are you honeysuckle or dog poop? I got a test for you. At the bottom, are you more value adder or value taker? In each one of these seven beatitudes. That's a continuum. On the left-hand side is the positive. And so if you're completely to the left, you're completely humble. You mark an X there. On the right-hand side is the opposite. For phrases and words that I tried to capture the opposite. So if you're more focused on self completely, then put it there. But put it somewhere. On that continuum. So are you humble or you're focused on self? That's poor in spirit. Are you broken by sin and your sinfulness, or are you just superficial and flippant? That you're supposed to be marking this. Number three, are you submissive to Christ? Are you still independent, doing your own thing? Are you pursuing right living, especially in relationships? Or are you driven by selfish desires, what you want? Do you do what is best to the undeserving? Or do you refuse because they don't deserve it or they've hurt you? Are you pure in heart, serving Jesus as Lord and Savior with right motives? Or are you holding on to control? And then finally, are you striving to bring peace and make peace in your relationship with other people, people with God, people with one another? Or when you enter the picture, do you bring angst? Not necessarily conflict, but just not peace. Now, let me say it again. I don't want us to give a pass to one another on this. This is what Christ is all about. If it is true that the Beatitudes is the essence of Jesus' message, then we have to give our full effort as individuals and as a congregation to being the Beatitudes. So what do we do with this? What are the situations that you will face this week that you need to intentionally seek to add value? The hardest situations, the neediest people, the times when you tend to be at your worst are the ones where you need to bring value the most. Are you being dog poop in those, or are you being the fragrance of Christ? So I want you to think of at least a couple of situations that you know is coming this week. It might be just the environment, your work environment, school environment. It might be a neighbor, whatever it is. But something you're sure that you're going to face this week. And you need to change because you've been kind of bringing the aroma of dog poop. You need to bring the honeysuckle. You can't do it on your own. It's through surrender, so the power of Christ, the presence of Christ has filled you, and then working hard to do it. And the final question in every situation is to ask, And hopefully you remember this. Am I being honeysuckle or dog poop? That's a lot more graphic way to say it, isn't it, than good fragrance or bad fragrance. Yeah. Lord, I pray that you would do whatever it takes to help us to grasp what it means to live as your fragrance, as your salt, as your light, with your presence and power flowing through us in this upside-down world. I pray for every situation, every relationship that each of us will face this week. I pray that you will burn this question in our minds and this idea in our hearts, that everywhere we go, we will be looking to bring value. And in doing so, that we will bring honor to you, pleasure to you, and we'll grow into a deeper intimacy and satisfaction that comes from you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.